The Friday edition of the Daily Drive continues on. Remember, this is our final new show for the next, what did I say, almost 2 weeks. The next show will be July 8th. I'll be off on vacation over the next week and a half. So this is it. This is all you're getting over the next week and a half. We will be back with live shows coming up in July. Today's Daily Drive is courtesy of our good friends over at Madhouse Farms, locally grown products, and Montana Agriculture. You can feel good about two convenient locations over at the Y and down in Lolo. We're back with another play-by-play chat. This is our fourth installment of play-by-play chat. If you're new to the show or new to the segment, at least, we just chat with play-by-play announcers out there. You know, for the voice of the Grizz, Riley Corcoran and myself, it's obviously a passion of ours being a couple of play-by-play guys, and we like to reach out and see how other play-by-play announcers got into the business, how they do their prep. We'll go into story time, et cetera, et cetera. And we are diving into the Midwest for the first time here on Play-by-Play Chat. It's the voice of Ball State University, Mick Tidrow. Mick and I, we go back to our college days in the Northwoods League, a wood bat league back in the Midwest, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois. It's actually expanded a ton. Mick is also on the radio team of the Indiana Fever as a host and sideline reporter. Mick joins us now for our play-by-play chat. Mick, what's going on, man? How are you?
Ace, my friend. It's really good to hear from you, and I appreciate you having me on and being back in the airwaves in Missoula. Miss Missoula after spending the one summer there with the then Missoula Osprey. But really cool for you to have me on and talk shop and get to be back in touch.
Yeah, what do you remember about your 1 year in Missoula? I wanted to ask you about that.
Gorgeous views, the hikes, and the awesome baseball scenery. Just such a cool experience, and the town was so embraced with Missoula Osprey, now Paddleheads. I have to keep reminding myself, but the team and the environment was awesome. So I really appreciate it and was very grateful for my time there.
Yeah, there's still a lot of fans here that will call them the Osprey, and I think refuse to call them the Paddleheads at this point, so you're not the only one. Now, what year were you here? Was that before or after your Northwoods League stint?
That was after my Northwoods League stint, so the summer of 2018, right after you and I were in the NWL.
Yeah, and so Mick was in Wisconsin Rapids, kind of the heart of Wisconsin, if you will. Let's just dive into the Northwoods League and getting your opportunity here with the Osprey. Kind of fill me in on your journey of how you became a play-by-play announcer and how you got to where you are today in the voice of the Ball State Cardinals and also with the Indiana Fever.
Yeah, Ace, it's been a very gratifying journey. So it all started going into my summer senior season during my baseball year at Mountain Crest High School and high school. And we went on a trip to Yellowstone, and my brother from Indiana came out with us because I grew up in Utah. So we all linked up and went to Yellowstone. And he just asked me, his name's Luke, and he just asked me, hey, what are you planning on doing in college and after high school? And I said, well, I thought I was going to be the next shortstop of the Yankees. I don't think that's happening, so let's figure out something. And he was like, well, what do you think about the broadcast business in sports? I didn't know you could do that for a career. I just saw people on TV, heard them on the radio, and thought that was some far-off land that didn't exist for people to actually go out and pursue. And he said, well, I know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody at Ball State University back in Indiana, and if I can get a meeting, would you want to come this fall during break or something like that and come visit campus and see the people? I said, sure, why not? What do I have to lose? And so my mom and I flew out and went on a visit to Ball State, and I was in love from the beginning of the campus, the resources, the people, and I didn't even know what the world was like. So I had no broadcasting experience in high school. And I just said, I need to do this. I don't know how this is going to work, but let's travel across the country and commit to going to Ball State. So I met with Chris Taylor, who's the senior director of the SportsLink student production program, and the department chair, Tim Pollard, on my visit. And I was so intimidated because I didn't have experience, and this field was competitive, and they were just starting the four-year track in their champions program. And my class was going to be the first one to graduate in 4 years with that track. And so when I got accepted to the program, those two helped onboard me, everything, believed in me from day one with nothing but my word of I'm going to work hard and just prove your investment right. And I stayed at Ball State for 6 years, got 2 degrees, and then finished up my master's in 2020. Moved out to North Dakota for 2.5 years post-grad and worked for Beck Sports Network, which was a TV cable network out there. And then the Ball State job opened up. I threw my name in the hat and fortunately was selected to have the job. But now I'm just finishing up my fourth year here and going into number five, which is crazy, Ace. I can't believe it's been 4 years already since I've got the job. But the stops in all before that with Missoula in 2018 and Wisconsin Rapids in 2017. And I was in the West Coast League in 2016. And my first real internship was in 2015 after my freshman year of college with the ESPN 700 radio station in Salt Lake City. I went back home that summer and interned with them and had a chance to learn the production side of radio a lot more with Trevor, John, and the crew there. It was really Trevor, John, and Sam, we all had a chance to work with each other and really dive into it. And I got to learn a lot. So all of those stops have been breaks for me. And people ask me like, oh, what's been your big break? I'm like, I could say my brother, just even bringing up the business and then getting me a visit or being accepted to the program in Sports Lake or the Missoula job or the job at Beck in North Dakota or Wisconsin Rapids, because they've all just been excellent stops along the way. And it's truly remarkable how in 12 years since I started college to now, the development, the growth, and the amount of people who have just been looking out for me, man. It's crazy how many folks you meet and interact with, create relationships and friendships with that stay with you forever. And that's just such a gratifying part of this business, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Today's Daily Drive, courtesy of Campbell Key of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles, great service, and a no-pressure buying experience. Located off of Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Mick Tidrow, the voice of the Ball State Cardinals, is the guest here on the Daily Drive in our play-by-play chat session, talking about all of his stops along the way. What's the question you get most as a play-by-play announcer, whether it's from fans, family, friends? What's the question you get most?
What's the path to do what you do? Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest ones. And that answer is different for everybody.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just take a chance on yourself and try to learn as much as you can, because you never know where you're going to go. And for me, learning as much as I did across the board with so many different people and so many different stops was instrumental. And it was a culmination of just different people saying yes. So I don't really know how to answer that question when people ask, because I don't know. I just tried to make sure I put myself in right positions. But that's probably the question that I get asked the most. Or how do you juggle all the different sports that you do at Ball State with doing radio for football, men's basketball, then all of our other sports for our ESPN Plus package, and then adding the Indiana Fever gig this summer? How do you juggle a prep forward? And it's just time management and making sure that I'm working ahead as possible. And from August to May during the academic year, it's very much 7 days a week, and maybe get a week during the holiday break in December. And then after that, it's back to it. But summertime is my chance to reprieve and try and rest a little bit. But yeah, those are probably the two biggest questions that I get.
I don't think yet on play-by-play chat, I don't think we've really talked about, you know, the cliche of advice to a college kid looking to get into the business. And, you know, I've been asked before too about how do I break through. We had an intern here just this last, a few months ago, this last school year. And, you know, it's always, you know, how do you break through? What do you do? Et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. I'm not sure if you have a different answer for that. I think what I always say to a young guy or gal that asks that, I go, listen, this job, it's a blast. No doubt about it. I mean, we get to talk sports. It's great. It's awesome. But there is a different side to it. You will sacrifice a lot of time, a lot of weekends. I mean, I've had to, you know, just being here on football sideline in pre and post game, I've had to skip, you know, a couple of really good friends' weddings. And that's just kind of the nature of the business. Late nights, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to have to move if you want to make it up. So all that, and I guess the question, young guy or gal comes to you, what are you telling them about how to break into this business, or maybe just advice from your shoes?
Listen, learn, and say yes to as many things as possible. And you're right. You'll have to move around. You'll have to go to places that might make you uncomfortable. And you might have to say yes to something that you have no idea about. but always being open to those possibilities, because it'll take you to places you never thought were possible.
Yeah.
I never thought that I would go from Ball State or from Utah to Indiana, and then my first gig in a play-by-play position for a full summer out in Washington State, and then Wisconsin, and then Missoula, and then North Dakota, and then back to India. It just, you never know. But if you say yes to those opportunities, then you're putting yourself in a position where a lot of people aren't willing to go. A lot of people wouldn't be willing to drive from Indianapolis to Fort Wayne three times a week for, you know, an internship. And, oh, that's too much driving to do for just 3 days a week. And if you're able to sacrifice and do some of that stuff early on, you really put yourself in a great foundation. And for me, Ace, I took a lot of time in college to work on this craft and make sure that I was doing what I wanted to do. And that took me away from being a little bit more social. And maybe I could have still been social and gotten a chance to do what I'm doing now. But I made sure that I was putting in that time, that effort, and that energy, so that when I walked out the door with 2 degrees, I knew that I could put myself in a position where, okay, everything's worth it. The Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours is, to me, a real thing. Are you 10,000 hours into your prep? Are you 10,000 hours into being on air? Those things matter, and the accumulation, if you're doing that in college or before, your clock is starting faster, and it's able to put you in that spot where you are moving in the direction that you want to go.
You mentioned in voice of Ball State University, Mick Tidrow here on the Daily Drive, you mentioned, you know, uncomfortable. Take those opportunities that might seem uncomfortable. Did you have a gig that when you took it, you said, you know, I want to shoot for the stars here. I want to make a living in sports broadcasting, but I don't know. This is kind of uncomfortable. This is iffy. Did you ever have that job or that moment so far in your career?
I would say that it really came together just going to college and finding a way to know all the ins and outs of the business. And stuff that made me uncomfortable was producing events and running camera and doing the production side, because it wasn't what my focus was, but I knew that I wanted to learn as much from behind the scenes as possible, so that when I jump on a headset for a TV broadcast, I knew what the director was doing. I knew what the TV was up to and how the graphics operation worked. And then you can build a sense of what your crew is going to do. Hey, my director is showing this shot. I know what's coming next because we've worked together. I know the position. They're showing the tight shot of the person that made the shot. And then they're going to go to the defense, and then they'll go back to game action. And it gives you that flow of understanding. And for me, it was just uncomfortable to run a camera at the first or run replay or graphics. I didn't really have an itch to do it, but I felt it was important to have a broader scope of the business as a whole. And it's paid off a lot for me just to have that knowledge base, but it definitely made me uncomfortable. And I learned a lot though. And whether you want to be on air or behind the camera, if you do both of them and you understand both of them, even when you are uncomfortable, then it puts you in a much different realm.
You, first off, congratulations on the new gig with the Indiana Fever in year number one with them on the radio team as a host and reporter. How is it different? How is it similar to covering college sports? You know, at the end of the day, I know your prep is probably going to be the same, at least the process of it. But when you're at the arena, when you're chatting with the players, when you're just kind of in the thick of it, is it different? How different is it covering college compared to pro sports?
Yeah, I think with professional sports, everybody has their own PR person, but then you have the PR team within the organization. So those interactions, I think, are a little bit different, and not in a good or bad way. It's just the way it is and how everybody operates. Like in college, it feels like there's so much to do all the time within the world. And then in pro sports, it's, hey, we practice, we play, we work out, we have our lives, and there's that routine. So I think that's one of the biggest differences just around the game and everything. But yeah, I really enjoy the gig as a whole because it is a different side of things. And one of the biggest differences, you know, we got my role being a host instead of a play-by-play, of just setting the table during pregame, reactionary for halftime and postgame, and then a postgame interview after a victory down on the court with a player is always super unique. And in the vein of the WNBA and with the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark, for the chance to see Caitlin for the first time after a game last week, and just having 17,000 people watching you do an interview on the radio on the court with Caitlin Clark is a different type of experience, and it's really unique. I got chills when I think about it. I got chills when I was down there. It's a pinch me type of thing, and very grateful to the Pacer Sports Entertainment and Fever crew for having me.
What's it been like to cover Caitlin Clark, especially not only these last couple of days? Let's just hone in on these last couple of days. I mean, that has been a huge talking point. You throw on, you know, PTI or Dan Patrick or whatever, and they're talking about how Caitlin Clark has been officiated and how it just feels like the conversation has been around that now for some time. What's it been like to cover Caitlin Clark just overall, but then especially right now with the questions around officiating and how you officiate her?
For sure. I think the big thing that sticks out to me is she's super nice, and she's treated me very well whenever, you know, when I did my interview with her and stuff like that. So I want to put that out there that she's been great. And from an officiating standpoint, it's different, because when you hear like head coach Stephanie White talk about it in post game, you just want things to be fair, and it's not good when there's situations like what happened on Wednesday. It is different, and you can see, I think everybody just wants it to be consistent, Ace, with the officiating and make things fair across the board, and making sure that there's not a breakdown in how you're officiating one player versus the next. And I think there's a lot of that conversations happening. I won't get too far into the weeds on some of that, but I think overall people just want to see things done clearly and consistently on both sides, whether it's for Caitlin Clark, against whatever it might be. I think if people were like, okay, these are the rules, everybody's got to play by them, then it's a different story.
Have you and the rest of the Fever radio crew, like, have you had conversations about how you guys are going to cover this during games, or you just kind of let it happen naturally?
I think it's more of a natural thing. Yeah. Whatever feels right in the moment is the most important thing to talk about. So I don't think there's any way to pre-plan some of it, especially sure. with how this season's gone.
All right, Mick Tidrow, Sacramento State is joining the MAC this year, something that Grizz fans out here in Missoula know all about, and Sac State was very vocal about leaving the Big Sky and everything they've done. Your thoughts about Sacramento State joining the MAC, and your thoughts about traveling, you know, all the way out to Sacramento for some football games?
I love it. I think it's more MACtion coast to coast at this point. UMass on the east side and then Sac State on the west coast. There's and the excitement for them to join the league in just football, because the MAC's losing Northern Illinois to the Mountain West and conference realignment's all happening. It does change the dynamic, because the MAC has been such a bus heavy league for so long, and then re-adding UMass a couple years ago and now adding Sacramento State changes that a bit. But I think just expanding the reach is a cool thing. So we're excited. We host Sacramento State this year for homecoming. What a time for that game to be the first one. And I'm curious to see if we'll have the return trip next year, or if it'll be a couple of years down the line before we meet back up. It's a great addition, in my opinion, because more teams, health of the league. And really, if you look at the MAC, they got a great deal with Sacramento State joining, with the money that's coming in and the reports of Sacramento State's going to pay for the travel for opposing teams to come in. The MAC wins that, and the other teams do too, because, okay, you're on a plane flight for 3 extra hours. But it's all covered.
So
when you look at that dynamic, it really doesn't hurt other teams. It's just now about scheduling it, traveling, and getting all those plans mapped out from an operations standpoint, which our crew does a phenomenal job of. So I think it's great for the league, and we'll see. And I think it's a 5-year deal. We'll see how long it goes and how it's received in year one.
What was your take on Northern Illinois leaving the MAC and joining the Mountain West? And I guess when I say your take, you know, sure, it can be yours personally, but also just kind of Ball State, the MAC, Ball State fans. I guess what was the overall temp check on Northern Illinois jettisoning out and headed to the Mountain West?
Yeah, we had heard rumors, Ace, for a couple of years that they were looking to make the jump to somewhere, and then going to the Mountain West for football, and then the Horizon League for all their other sports. It makes sense from a logistical standpoint for them and what they want to do with their programs. Ball State and IU had become somewhat of rivals with the bronze stock matchup in football. And the last several years, there were 3 straight years where one of the teams won on a game-winning kick. And so there was a little bit of that momentum built as a rival in conference. And so them leaving kind of takes that away. And I know the old faithful Ball State fans have Miami as the true rival. And I agree with that. It's the Redbird rivalry. Those are rivals. They're an hour plus away from campus. Like, boom, that is a natural rival. But in the last decade, it felt like NIU had become like a supplementary rival. And so I don't know how many Ball State fans are sad to see him go just because of how the rivalry's been. Yeah. And, you know, okay, if they want to leave, goodbye. But I think maybe a natural Sacramento State rivalry could be fun for Ball State in just different ways. They're a new team in the league. Ball State lost one of its protected rivals with the Bronstock matchup, but then NIU leaving. So does Sacramento State become the rival? We'll see how it all goes. But yeah, I think NIU leaving is definitely weird because they've been a staple in this matchup. But yeah.
Couple more questions for you as we are joined by the voice of the Ball State Cardinals, Mick Tidrow, here on play-by-play chat on the Daily Drive. A couple more rapid-fire questions. I see that Ball State football, you guys open up at the Horseshoe in Columbus this year against Ohio State. What are some of the better venues that you've had the chance to call games at? Basketball, football, baseball, doesn't matter. Some of the better venues you've seen?
Kroger Field at Kentucky. The Wildcats football stadium does a very good job. Rocky Top, Tennessee is always one of my favorites to travel to as well. That was my first ever game as the voice of the program. So those are two that really jump out to me.
Best athlete that you've covered. I know we already brought up Caitlin Clark, very well could be. Best athlete or best athletes that you've covered during your broadcasting career?
Oh, that's a hard question, Ace. You're putting me on the spot, man. And I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm going to go all the way back to the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters days. Bryson Stott, he's now with the Philadelphia Phillies and anchoring their middle infield for the last couple of years, was close to winning a World Series. He and I still stay in touch, so love Bryson Stott. Caitlin obviously is at the top there. Jalen Sellers for men's basketball at Ball State just got a two-way deal with the Chicago Bulls after the draft wrapped up this year, so he was always a dynamic guy. But I don't know if I can do more or less because, yeah, I don't want to get myself in any trouble with missing people, but those are some that jump off the page right after that. Alex Call's a World Series champion for baseball with the Los Angeles Dodgers. He got traded from the Nationals to the Dodgers and won a World Series. So that was really cool for the Dodgers wanting him to be a part of their outfield and their World Series run. That's always one of the top people as well.
I was waiting for Call. I he's from, you know, my hometown. He graduated from River Falls High School a year ahead of me. So I was waiting for Call. If you missed out on Alex Call, I would have called you out on that. No pun intended, of course.
As you should have.
Well, Mick, hey, we appreciate the time, man, and I'm glad to hear everything is going well in Indiana, both Ball State and the Fever. So appreciate you taking a few minutes. It was great catching up, and maybe next time we don't go so long without a phone conversation. How about that?
I like that idea. Let's definitely make it happen more often, man. But I appreciate you having me on. Love what you're doing, and keep up the great work. Appreciate you having me on back in the Missoula airwaves, man. Go Cardinals, go Fever.
You're welcome anytime, by the way, back in Missoula, all right?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Voice of Ball State, Mick Tidrow here on the Daily Drives play-by-play chat. When we come back, Scott Richmond's joining us. Scott's been out all week. We haven't been able to break down the NBA trades and everything going around. Giannis and LaMelo. We'll chat about that with Scott Richmond next on the Daily Drive.